Hey all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the Wind Column Sports Networks. Remember to check us out at windcolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening here in Alberta in the world of wrestling. So this COVID-19 pandemic outbreak has pretty much put a halt to everything happening in the world of independent wrestling. There are no scheduled shows. Everything that was happening has been canceled, from the PWA 19th anniversary show that was going to be taking place in Edmonton on March 28th. That was canceled or postponed for at least now until we get some more news. But everything has essentially been canceled. PPW down in Lethbridge, RCW around Calgary area, PWA, everything is canceled. It's just the way it is right now because everybody is practicing social distancing, and I really hope everybody is practicing social distancing. It is important in this kind of weird time that we're all living in right now. I also would like to apologize for the fact that you haven't heard from me over the course of this last week. I lost my father last week, and I was in mourning, and it has taken a little bit of time to feel like I was ready to get back to work. But I am happy to announce that I am back. I've missed talking wrestling, and I'm here to provide content for all of you out there in Radio Land who have all stuck at their houses right now, just missing talking and watching some local independent wrestling. So I am back today with an interview with Davey O'Doyle. It was a great interview. I got to sit down and chat with him, and we talked about, you know, how he got into wrestling, what his dreams are with regards to wrestling, some of his dream matches. We pulled the Twitterverse, and we answered a lot of your questions out there, and it was a lot of fun, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. But before we do get into that today, we will hear from our sponsors over at the Wind Column Sports Network. I would also like to say quickly, though, that this week I will have three podcasts coming out. I have three interviews. It all starts today with Davey O'Doyle. And on Thursday and Saturday, I will have another interview, one on each of these days. So remember to hit that subscribe button and like if you haven't so you don't miss anything. Now let's hear from our sponsors over at the Wind Column Sports Network.
When things aren't going right for your team, you scream at the television. When things are going right, you throw up a fist pump. The Wind Column Sports Network puts your passion into words. Along with our affiliates Below the Ice, Duncan Duma, and Backbreaker Media, the Wind Column Sports Network provides professional-level coverage of semi-professional franchises, athletes, and organizations in Edmonton. Get in the Wind Column with a fan's perspective on local sports with stories you can only find online at windcolumnsports.ca.
Hey everybody, Anthony back. I am joined by Davey O'Doyle. Davey, how are you doing today, my friend?
You know, the world's kind of in like a crazy spot, but I guess I'm staying safe. I'm doing all right.
That's very fair. Yeah, the world's a little bit crazy right now. We haven't really had a chance to talk about it. Yeah, but COVID-19 has essentially put the world of wrestling at a standstill right now. Are you enjoying your probable self-isolation, which seems to be what everybody's doing these days?
I can't say I'm not enjoying it because, you know, I'm just doing whatever, trying to stay busy, but like when you're used to wrestling on the weekend or like going to the gym 5 days a week or whatever, it's kind of a big change to adjust to, you know?
Absolutely. You must be going a little bit stir crazy then. Are you keeping up like with home exercises and stuff?
Yeah, like I went to my parents' place actually because they have like a lot of workout stuff in their basement kind of thing. So I'm like doing that and just like watching wrestling to pass the time, doing push-ups and whatever, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, everybody's got to be doing something. I just got my 90th star on Super Mario 64, which I just started playing again. Got 30 more to go. I'm going to get that cannon open. Anyway,
yeah, whatever gets you through the day. Right?
Exactly. All right, so let's talk a little bit about you, Davey. Now, I also recently learned that you are 21 years old, which means that you aren't what I would say. Like, you haven't been in the business for too long. You've been wrestling what I understand to be about 2.5 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, just a bit under three, but yeah.
Just a bit under 3 years. So you got to tell me your story. Like, you grew up, you got to talk about your love of wrestling. How did you get here, man?
So that's kind of one of those things where you're just like, I remember I was probably, okay, so it starts, there was a kid at my school named Jordan, and he showed me like a magazine article, and it was a Chris Jericho and Triple H article. And like, I had no idea what any of this was. So he explained it to me a bit, and I flipped through the TV channels that night, and I stumbled upon an episode of Raw. And that's where it started there, and I bet you I was seven or eight, but I didn't exactly get into wrestling right away there. I kind of kept that in the back of my mind, and then I'd say about 2 or 3 years later, I started watching regularly, and then I just kind of fell in love with it there.
So a lot of people I've known have gotten into wrestling one of two ways. So you said you watched wrestling, but when you started getting into wrestling, was it like, did you play the video games or were you specifically just watch the show?
I was in deep for everything. Like I still have like I said, I'm at my parents' house right now. So I have like a pile of wrestling games and a pile of DVDs. And in one of my closets somewhere, I have a big bunch of action figures sitting in a ring still, right? Like, it's pretty ridiculous.
If you were to pop in a video game to play any wrestling video game, which is the one that you throw in?
Wow.
You throw the hard questions out here.
I guess that kind of depends what like mood I'm in, I guess. Because if I were to play like the actual like really fun game for me, like I guess right now I have like my GameCube ones. Mm-hmm. So maybe like Day of Reckoning 2. But if I want to be like really nostalgic, I'll throw in like SmackDown versus Raw like 2008 or something, just to whatever, you know.
Did you do like the GM modes back in those games?
Yeah, but like I even still to this day, like I played a little bit just in passing, and I'm still just like an awful general manager. Because like I'll make like these matches that I think are like really good, and then I won't play them. I'll just sim them. And when you simulate everything, it really messes it up. And like I'm consistently like SmackDown, my brand is in last place.
Oh man. That's sad. I'm sorry. But so let's talk a little bit about something. Because something I really was excited to chat with you about was your involvement in the Clandestine Society as of last mm-hmm. year. So you got to be a part of one of the most unique matches. I know you've got an obvious love for Batista.
Yeah.
In fact, I said this earlier, your entrance as Batista was flawless. I don't think you made a single mistake compared to the things that he does. But what was it like trying to wrestle as another wrestler?
To be honest with you, if it was any other wrestler, I think it would have been really tough. But because my childhood was so hinged on watching Batista and watching his mannerisms and everything, that it really, when I got into the headspace, it came pretty naturally. But anybody else would have been really tough, I think.
That makes a lot of sense. So what is it about Batista? Why did you gravitate so heavily towards someone like a Batista?
It's tough to say, like, because like I was 9 years old when I picked him as my guy, I guess. Like it probably helped a lot that he was the World Heavyweight Champion at the time, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Fair.
But as like time grew on, I think it's very much the fact that if you see him outside, he's very down to earth and he's very like humble, he's very quiet, and I think that kinda relates to me, because like if I know you really well, I'll probably talk a year off. But if I don't know you at all, like I won't say a word. And like so I kinda relate to that, and even when I'm in a wrestling environment, I'm okay having the attention on me, but when I'm not, I very much don't want anybody else's attention. I'm very to myself. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe I didn't know that at the time, but those things really helped me relate to Batista now, I'd say.
That's really interesting. I feel that same way about myself. Like if I know you, I won't stop talking, kind of a thing. But if I don't know you, I kind of just stay back. I just, you know, I fold my hands. I'm just let people do their own thing.
Yeah, I'm very, very much like if I get an introduction and I think we like click, then I'll talk your ear off, but before that, I'm never going to approach you, right?
Well, let's start talking about your little trip into the world of wrestling now. So how did you start wrestling?
So in high school, I kind of dropped out of wrestling a bit in like my grade 9, 10, 11, around there, and I really focused on playing football. And then when football kind of ended for me, and I moved, it's called Senior Bowl. You play like your best grade 12s, all play a football game. Mm-hmm. So I went to that and I made the team there and I played that, but it really, like once you left all your buddies in your town, it really wasn't as much fun. It was really serious and I knew like, no, this isn't for me. So I knew that the only other thing I really, really enjoyed was professional wrestling. So I started looking for places to train, and in Regina, there was a place called High Impact Wrestling Academy.
Right.
And I knew I was going to go to school there anyways for university. So I messaged them and I worked that out, and that's how I ended up there.
So I understand that you have trained under Bucky McGraw. Now, I know he was one of your two different trainers. Now, I recently got introduced to Bucky McGraw as his re-education series is now kind of been popping up on YouTube. He seems really comfortable on the mic, and I'm going to be 100% honest. You have one of the best character work, just natural, comfortable character work. Was Bucky kind of like a big teacher of how to do a promo, or did you really learn all that stuff all on your own? Because like you can cut a heel promo just like on fans, like nobody's business.
That's funny, because like we really didn't do a lot of promo stuff in the time that we trained at all, really. We kind of got to work in the ring. We did working on your basics, working on what you wanted to do in the ring. We didn't really work on promos at all. So like that promo stuff was kind of just me finding
your character.
I was comfortable doing, finding my character, just kind of going, right? Seeing what worked and what didn't.
That's totally understandable. Now, I have a couple more questions with that. Now, mm-hmm. I'm always interested in people's character. And across Western Canadian wrestlings, I know two different O'Doyles. So there's you and there's Kevin O'Doyle. Is there just the thing with O'Doyle in Western Canadian wrestling as a name that I just don't get? Or like, how did you come to the name O'Doyle?
How did I came to the name of O'Doyle because for my first probably five or six matches, I worked under like a mask and I was called the Convict, right? just a very basic, like, just go out there and like make grunt noises. Like,
right.
For
go job.
Whatever, I did that. So yeah, so I'm at this little sidewalk fair, street fair thing. And they were like, okay, you don't have to wrestle in your mask or anything, go out in your actual gear now. What do you want to be called? And we're trying to come up with names, and like the promoter had some god awful stupid names. And I remember telling him, like, if you're gonna call me something stupid, you might as well just call me something stupid like O'Doyle. and then like famous last words, because that stuck, and here we are, right?
Oh, that's amazing. Well, so when you're creating your character as a kid, everybody's thought about it. Everybody had like, oh, I want to be this amazing wrestler. Did you have your own gimmick idea that you thought you would become one day?
I can honestly say that most of my characters were just like, they look cool and they wrestle cool. There wasn't actually a solid concrete, like, I want my character to be this kind of occupation or he's into this kind of anything. It was kind of just more like, I just want this guy to kick some ass.
So
right?
it was more about the attitude than it was about anything else, kind of a thing.
Yeah, honestly, I'd say so.
That's awesome. So I pulled the Twitterverse, as you know, and I got back a whole bunch of different questions here from them. So we're just going to randomly go through a couple of different ones and I'll delete them as we go. We'll scatter them out.
Okay.
We've got a bunch here from the YYC Wrestling Hub, some from Alex at Canadian Jobber, some from Marcel, some, of course, from Mike Deuce, see the sign guy, all great guys. So I'm just going to pick one at random.
Okay.
So you're a decorated tag champion in the PWA. In fact, I know last year you won 2019 Backbreaker Media's Tag Team of the Year as the league alongside Braden Parsons, which I voted for personally because I love cheering for you, or hating you guys, especially in person. But as a decorated tag champ, was your match against the Thickness officially you focusing on singles competition, or are your eyes still drawn on the tag division?
Honestly, whatever gives me a better chance, I'm going to go for it, but I can honestly say at this moment right now, I'd like to focus on singles wrestling more.
Mm-hmm.
Tag team wrestling has, like, great aspects, but there's also, because there's so little actual true tag teams, you can kind of limit it in what you can do here. So, like, as a singles, you have a lot more opportunity, a lot more championships to go after, a lot more people to wrestle. So I really would like to get into singles.
Oh, that's a great answer. So talking a little bit about Braden Parsons here, another question here from the YYC Wrestling Hub. What was it like wrestling Braden Parsons while in High Impact Wrestling, including trading the internet title back and forth at the same time as tagging with him inside of the PWA?
That's like, it's one of those things where you know you guys are buddies, right? So. Mm-hmm. Whether you're tagging together, you have a lot of fun. But when you're wrestling each other, you're still having fun. It's still about competition. It's still about being a champion, going after a championship, right? So it's kind of it's just a mindset of flipping it of competition. Who's your competition, right? I like wrestling Parsons. He's a solid guy.
Yeah, he's a very strong worker, obviously, very athletic. Couple questions. Here's a question I have with regards to that. Do you prefer wrestling with him or against him?
I'd say with him.
With him? I was like, I'm here to create all the drama now that there's no actual wrestling, so
my only complaint is that like I don't mind getting hit hard, but sometimes he hits you really hard and I was like, man, come on, man.
All right, let's gonna switch it up here from the YYC Wrestling Hub. We're gonna move on to a question, just a fun question from Mike Ducey.
Right.
Which of all the Halloween sequels is your least favorite? And which is also your favorite?
Least favorite. Well, I don't know if you count the Rob Zombie remakes as like the sequels, but like Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 is god awful. It's atrocious, and there's not a chance anybody should watch it. It's terrible.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
But like of the other ones, I guess like I'd say Resurrection's probably the worst because like Michael Myers like. Fighting Buster Rhymes is pretty ridiculous. Nobody needs to see that, but
what
whatever.
Was it? Halloween X, where he's in space?
That's Jason.
That's Jason. That's right. Oh, that's right. I have to catch up on my horror movies here. I'm stuck in the 80s, man. My horror movies are 80s and before. Like, that's my area of horror movies.
That's where a lot of the good ones were made, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, right? Well, still to this day, Nightmare on Elm Street is my favorite, like, classic horror movie. And I hate Chucky. Screw that shit. Anyways, next we have a question here from Marcel LeBlanc. What is your favorite city to wrestle in, and why is it Saskatoon? Is it because all others, is it because all of our league fees are paid up to date?
I don't even know if I can agree with that one. I don't know if I've received any league fees from the Saskatoon area code there.
Oh, man. And that's where you're a bigger face in Saskatoon. That's backwards country over there, I've learned.
Yeah, and then bigger in Regina as well, all over Saskatchewan probably.
Oh, just the biggest face? Holy cow. It's so weird to me because I've never seen you wrestle in Saskatchewan, so I've only ever seen you come out as a heel.
It's similar, but it's different, right?
Yeah.
Back to the question, I guess, though. I guess, like, my favorite actual city to wrestle in is, like, Weyburn, Saskatchewan, my hometown, just because they don't get wrestling a lot. So when they do get wrestling and they see me come out, usually they flip their lid.
That's awesome. Yeah, that would be amazing to wrestle in front of, like, your hometown. I know, like, Strathmore, where I'm from, got, like, a wrestling show, like, 2 years ago, but I didn't get a chance to attend it, unfortunately. Hope they come back, though.
Yeah.
Next question here from Alex at Canadian Jobber. Past or present, who would be at Davey O'Doyle's dream opponent and partner?
Oh, wow. Okay. My dream partner is for sure, I guess... is Batista, just because because Batista himself, like, I love him more than most people do, but he's kind of a clumsier guy. He's kind of limited, so wrestling him, you'd have some limitations of what you could do, especially with his size. Mm-hmm. But teaming with the guy would just be fantastic.
Just come out doing machine guns.
Nobody would care if I was singing along to his entrance the whole time, right?
No, I would probably be singing along with you from the crowd. So
but the partner, definitely Batista. Dream opponent. I don't know, like, all of my dream opponents, they kind of have like a weird, like, if I was a baby face, this guy, if I was a heel, this guy, you know what I mean? So I guess I'm just gonna play safe right in the middle and say, in any role ever, a guy like Kurt Angle or Eddie Guerrero would be like a dream opponent, just because they can do anything that you can imagine and they're so good.
I couldn't agree with that more. Like, Eddie Guerrero, I think, could have done anything. Great choices with something like that.
Yeah.
Next question here. I hope I pronounced this right. From Trox JK. Now, this is a couple of different part questions, so we'll start with the first part. What is your favorite match that you have ever competed in? It doesn't mean it's your best match, but what's your favorite one that you've ever competed in?
I get this question all the time, and it's so tough because, like, in a lot of ways, I think I know I haven't had my best matches yet. I think I still have a lot of growing to do, and I haven't shown the best of me, but if I had to pick maybe, like, one favorite match, I'd say in 2018, me and one of the guys I trained with, who doesn't wrestle anymore, named Charles T. Dot, we had a ladder match at the HIW Big Show in Regina called Spring Meltdown, and it was kind of a chance for two, like, newer, younger guys to kind of show what kind of metal they had, you know, like, in a big match feel, and, like, we had a... If I say so myself, we had a really good ladder match on the biggest show of the year. So I think that may be, like, for today anyways, my favorite match.
That's awesome. Did you win that match?
I did win that match.
Fantastic. All right, next part of his question. Who would you like to wrestle in 2020?
I want to wrestle anybody that can make me better, that can give me advice, that can help me get anywhere. I'll wrestle anybody. But as long as I can get better and have a good match, like, I'll wrestle whoever.
Let's change that then. If there was one person you could change from any major wrestling promotion right now that you could have a match with this year, who would you want it to be? So that doesn't necessarily mean you want to go straight to your, like, your dream opponent, but maybe, like, your step up into the major leagues. Who would you want it to be?
So the one guy that really sticks out for me, and it's not... Like, I'm not that I don't think he's good, because it's not a knock on him at all. But it's not even the guy, it's the title he holds more than anything. It's Nick Aldis.
Oh, the NWA world champion.
I would love to have an NWA title match. That's when I think of a dream match, that's kind of the dream match I think of. Whether it's, for now it's Nick Aldis, but whoever it is, just to have a shot at the 10 pounds of gold, I think would be the dream.
That's amazing. So I'm actually going to take a little bit of a break here from that question, because it actually segues perfectly into something I wanted to chat about. Now,
yes.
Your wrestling style, I want to call very classic and hard-hitting. Your spine right. buster is beautiful. Obviously, we've talked, and I've heard you talk about in the past, influence from people like Arn Anderson and that type of wrestling, how when you were training, you didn't have a top rope. So why right. bother going up to the top rope? You learn yeah. all of like how to take somebody down and keep them down. Now, yeah. with something like that, is something like an NWA where you've got that classic, you got that 80s studio feel, is that like a place where Davey O'Doyle would like to end up? Or is Davey O'Doyle more of the New Japan guy? Because I know you love Shingo Takagi. And otherwise, like, are you more of a WWE, AEW kind of guy? Like, where would Davey O'Doyle end up?
If I could choose, it'd be either like maybe a New Japan or an NWA, just because there's a deeper appreciation just for the simplicity of having a sports type match. And I kind of like, not that I don't enjoy watching maybe an AEW, but it's a little much for me. So when you can get to just simple, basic pro wrestling storylines, I think a place like NWA that I could really cut my teeth there, or a place like New Japan, if I could get trained in some of the catch-can grappling a little bit more, a place like that I could really do well too.
That's awesome answers. I think personally, NWA would be a perfect place for someone like you, with the way that yeah. you talk to the crowd and the audience, your comfortability. I think that'd be fantastic. But let's talk a little bit about New Japan, because you've actually trained at the LA Dojo.
Yeah.
So you went down with Sean Moore. That was what, 2019?
Yeah, that was May of last year. Yeah.
May of last year. So talk a yeah. little bit about that. Now, I heard your trip down, you took forever to go through places like Montana. But is it true that you wake up every morning, you're like cooking meals for the guys, you're cleaning, you're doing crazy exercises? Is that that stigma true?
Because of this is just being a camp, we didn't like stay at the dojo and make everybody okay. food and everything. Yeah, yeah. But when you're like a young lion in Japan, that is what you do. So, but for this camp, me and Sean, we stayed at a hotel, and then we'd wake up, you know, get a little bit of oatmeal that we knew we wouldn't throw back up, just a little bit into us, and then we'd go. Because in the morning, they just sock you at heart, basically. They just work you out and see if they can pretty much break you and make you quit, right?
Before you even start training.
That's just during the morning. Then you'd have a little break, and then you'd like learn, just do some wrestling in the afternoon. And very much a lot of that was get back to basics, make sure your basics are concrete. But like that whole experience, man, was just so eye-opening, just to see the perfectly clean, pristine New Japan LA Dojo, just to be on the road with Sean all the way from Regina to Los Angeles, and from Los Angeles we went to St. Louis for a show. Like, it was like a crazy wrestling road trip with my best friend, and like I wouldn't replace it for anything. It's so much fun.
How long were you gone for?
I think the camp was 4 or 5 days, so it took like 2 days to drive to LA. The camp was 4 or 5 days, then it took 2 days to drive to St. Louis, and then after the show in St. Louis, we drove straight back.
That sounds like a really fun May, I'm not going to lie.
It was fantastic, man. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
So who are some of the trainers that you had working inside the LA Dojo?
So the main trainer there is Katsuyori Shibata.
Wow,
so
Shibata was like, there, hey?
Yeah, Shibata's like the head trainer of the LA Dojo. So he was there kind of keeping his eye on us. But because he had the Los Angeles Dojo, like they have the established Young Lions there, since they're better English speakers, they did a lot of the speaking for us, and they'd walk around and help us. Mm-hmm. But Shibata's the main name. And then Haruki Goto was also there.
That's awesome, man.
So, you know, these two guys roaming around, make sure you're doing all right, and then they kind of pass along their knowledge through the Young Lions, but it was fantastic.
I'm trying to think back with my matching dates to times. Was this back after Shibata had already returned back to New Japan, or was this before he had returned back to New Japan?
He'd come back and did his, like, oh, I'm not dead. He took a bump or whatever.
That little thing with Kenta or whatever?
That was before his thing with Kenta, though.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's really cool then. So you really knew that he was kind of coming back, and you like that he was
it's hard to say if he's coming back, but he's in tremendous shape, you can tell, right?
Yeah. It was such a tragedy that seeing that headbutt. Like, I watched it and I was like, that, oh man, I hate that so much.
Yeah.
That was so scary. Anyways, let's move on from that. So I have to finish his question here, because this also moves on to something. So you are well known as having probably the manliest chest hair in Alberta. In fact, you know, the man, the myth, the chest, I've heard everything under the sun. His question for you, hair removal, do you wax, sugar, or shave? Now, I don't know what sugar means because I don't know any of that world, but I know that your back is shaved, but your chest isn't. I don't know if it's shaved, though.
Yeah, it comes from that that 80s wrestler look, you know, like the Arn Anderson, right?
Right, yeah. No, exactly.
Big old barrel, hairy chest and torso or whatever, nothing else. But I don't know, it depends who you ask. If you ask Twitter, Sean Moore does it for me. And if you ask other people, I do it myself, so I'll just keep that one a little bit up in the air for you.
That's fine. I like the ambiguity because the last part of that question was who helps you out. I kind of think it's like the whole Revival shower situation because I love the Revival, and I think that's probably my favorite tag team in the world, so which is why I love your style of wrestling so much because I just I love that style of tag team. Fantastic. We'll leave that ambiguity in the air, but potentially Sean Moore.
All I'm going to say is it's a mystery. That's it.
There you go. So another question here that we have from Paul over at the YYC Wrestling Hub. So the league took on Body Break back in 2018. When can we expect you to take on either Bobby Sharp or Michael Allen Richard Clark in a singles match?
You know, I'm going to take whatever opportunity is presented to me, but I'm not going to ask for a match with those guys because those guys are my friends, man. All of us are in the era of Archer together. So if it happens, but I'm not going to go and requested at this moment.
So what you're saying is if there was a huge community push to have Davey O'Doyle versus Michael Allen Richard Clark for that championship, there wouldn't be any weird animosity created between the two of you.
No, we both want to be champion.
Oh, there you go. Hey, everybody out there, I think we have to start pushing for Davey O'Doyle. I don't know what's going to be happening inside the PWA, but hey, I think everybody would like to see a Davey O'Doyle, Michael Allen Richard Clark match. I know I would like to see it.
Yeah, I don't know, Matt. If you start that revolution and something happens, like, I guess I'm on board for it, right?
Hey, there you guys go. We got to start a revolution here. Now's the time for revolutions anyways. All right. Now, I have another question here from Paul at the YYC Wrestling Hub, because like I said, he has been crazy with these questions. Yeah. Over the last year, you've been able to share the ring with legends like Juventud Guerrera and Super Crazy. If you could handpick another legend to lace up against, who would it be and why? I guess this would be a really learning experience.
Yeah, so this kind of depends on what's your definition like of a legend. Because like if it's anybody who's like retired and kind of done their in-ring days, like I think I kind of just like to pick their mind more than wrestle them. But for guys who are like in the legendary status who I would have really liked to go at like in their day, maybe a guy like Ricky Steamboat would have been really good.
Man.
Just like knowing that what he can do and doing it all on the fly and him being like the perfect babyface for anybody, a guy like Steamboat.
Steamboat is a fantastic answer. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Hell, even when he came back, was it 2011, 2012? He still looked amazing.
Like when he had those matches with Jericho, like he was on fire. Just like thinking about that, like even 55-year-old Ricky Steamboat would have been fantastic.
Dude, 55-year-old Steamboat can put on better wrestling matches than a lot of people can still these days. That guy is a legend. That is a person I would consider a legend. He put on probably my favorite match of all time at WrestleMania 3 with Macho Man, so.
Fair enough, yeah.
I mean, I can't blame against that, right?
Yep.
Another question here from you. Actually, I already kind of touched on that one. I'm too good. I'm already asking these questions. But here's a really fun one. Why is your spine buster so good? Do you just like practice that? Because it's picture perfect every time you slam it. They hit the ground, it's loud, and it looks brutal.
I swear, I did that like twice before I actually started using it on shows.
That's crazy.
It's always been my favorite move for whatever reason, but like I don't know, it's a move I do naturally, I guess. It's always been my favorite move, so I guess it just shows that, like, I'm good at it, right?
Dude, it's a fantastic, so a spine buster on a normal show, I would consider just be, like, another move. It ain't gonna be finishing a match. But whenever I watch you do a spine buster, I'm kind of like, is he down? Is he down for good? Like, that was powerful. But,
I was like, I just kind of regret when I started that I didn't make that, like, this is my move I want to be my finish with everybody, right? But
well, what do you consider to be your finishing move?
See, like, that's just it, right? Because, like, for a lot of stuff in Alberta, my finishing move is, like, cheating. So
well, that's why I'm asking, because I don't really know.
It's because, like, I've put some guys away with, like, the Vader bomb, and I've put some guys away with this, like, the Rays of Saturn, I guess people call it lately. Mm. But, like, I don't know. You know, I don't really think there is much of a finish for me besides, like, cheating. So, whatever.
If you could, let's say you're in the middle of the WWE ring and, you know, standing across from you is Triple H and it's finishing time, what do you do? That's your fast thinking time.
Triple H, well.
Triple H is putting you over, man.
If everybody agrees with it, my actual move I want to be my finish is a full Nelson. I don't care if people are like, oh, that's so basic. I want to put a full Nelson and wrap my legs around like body scissors.
Like straight up, like and finish. Straight tap him out kind of thing or pass him out kind of a thing.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome.
So just a basic stretch, man. Like you don't, and if you're not actually in those holds, you don't know how bad a hold can actually hurt you, right?
Absolutely. So here's something that's really funny, and I'll talk about this with Spencer Love. Me and him have really weird favorite moves. Spencer really loves the double axe handle. I'm a huge fan of the back rake. So like when people are telling me like I would love the full Nelson to be my finishing move, all I want to do is applaud you and be like, thank you for honestly, keeping it alive.
If I at the point wherever when I go somewhere else besides Western Canada for wrestling, that's probably what I'm going to try to establish as my finish, right? Just because like let me actually put it in for real and then see how long you last, right? Like
I think that'd be really cool. Who taps people out with a full Nelson these days? It's no longer like 1973. That just doesn't happen. I would love that.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to transition away from some of these questions that we got. Everybody, thank you so much for the questions that you put in here today. But we are coming close to wrapping it up. And I do have my set of questions that I like to ask everybody. So, Davey, I've asked this to every interview I've ever done. If at any time throughout history you could contain any piece of gold around your waist, be it a belt, be it a sword, whatever it could be, what would be Davey O'Doyle's championship belt or whatever it is?
So like we kind of hit on this earlier, right? So like for me, I've never really been like a big belt guy. Like I can appreciate if a belt looks nice, like the Undisputed title I thought was a fantastic looking belt, but I've never been really like a belt guy or went out and bought belts or anything. So for me, like the belt is more like I'd be happier about like the spot it signifies being trusted by a company to have a belt. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, definitely, like I said before with Nick Aldis, the NWA world title is the real world heavyweight championship to me. It has such a lineage, such heritage, and it's really quite well protected. So you know when you win that belt, it's a big deal. So for me, that's the one belt that I would like to have.
I just want to say this because I think this is the best way that I've always been able to determine an NWA fan from other people. And I can tell you're a true NWA fan because you called it the World's Heavyweight Championship. A lot of people forget. I know, but a lot of people forget that S. And like, I love Marty Scurll, but he never says World's Heavyweight Champion. And I don't know why that bothers me.
Don't have that guy win it. He doesn't even know what it's called.
I know. Like, I don't know why that bothers me. I'm like, dude, it's the World's Heavyweight Championship.
Right? I've heard that too when guys are cutting promos. It's the World's Heavyweight Championship. I'm like, well, I guess that's what it is then.
Yeah. For me, obviously, grammatically, it makes sense. It sounds weird because nobody else says it. But thank you, NWA, for using grammar correctly. But absolutely. I do miss the Into the Fire theme song. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It got me a little bit more hyped, I guess, for the show too, but whatever.
Anyways. But thank you so much for joining me here today there, Davey. Yeah, man. Davey, before we do let you go here today, you can plug your stuff. Where can people find you?
So like I said on like Spencer's podcast, like if you want to add me on Facebook, cool, but I can't promise you any sort of anything good there. It's just me sharing shows. So if you want to get like the actual good stuff, Instagram and Twitter are both at Davey O'Doyle. Just that easy. I'm the only one. If you look it up, that's me.
There you go. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Davey, for joining me here today. Thank you for joining me here today. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day.
Thanks, man. Stay safe.
You too. Cheers. Bye-bye. A big thank you once again to Davey O'Doyle for sitting down with me today to talk some wrestling, answer some Twitter questions, and get to know a little bit more about the man behind the chest hair. But it was a fantastic talk, so once again, thank you to him. If you guys liked what you heard here today, remember to hit that like button and subscribe on whatever podcast app you're listening to this on. It really does help out the show immensely if you left us a 5-star rating and review, if that is what you want to do. You guys can go over to WrestleSode.com. I have a really cool feature that I'm going to be launching this week, so stay tuned to my social medias. You guys can follow me on Twitter at WrestleSode or at Facebook.com/WrestleSode or go to WrestleSode.com. All my everythings will be done at WrestleSode.com now as well. I've given that page or that website a big facelift, so and I'm still working on it. Now that I'm done mourning, it'll be go right back into production to make sure it's a great website and a great resource for all of you to stay entertained during this weird pandemic outbreak. I hope everybody stays safe. I hope everybody washes their hands for at least 20 seconds. I hope everybody's practicing social distancing. If you have to go out, just try to get your essentials and stay home. Otherwise, you know, if you got some loved ones, give them some calls. I'm sure some people are getting lonely. And yeah, think of your neighbors. Don't hoard. All right. Thank you, everybody. And I hope you have yourself a wonderful day.